Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Hey. Today's shiur is sponsored by Eric Cohn in honor of his father's ninth yahrzeit, Yeshua Aryeh ben David HaKohen, alav shalom, and the yahrzeit of his maternal grandfather, Avram Aryeh ben Pinchas, alav shalom, the neshama shev and aliyah. We thank Eric very much for the sponsorship. It's also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, also by my Uncle Jack and Aunt Jeanette Blumenkopf for the yahrzeit of Jack's mother, Chana Handel bas Avram Yosef, also my wife's grandmother, my daughter's namesake, the neshama shev and aliyah, and also by Karen and Mark E. Benson, commemorating the ninth yahrzeit of Mark's father, Jack Benson, Yaakov ben Yitzchak HaKohen, Zechor Levracha, whose yahrzeit was on the 23rd of Iyar, and by Jay Kaplowitz, Lezecher Nishmas, his mother, Esther Tova Bas Nata, Estelle Kaplowitz, Aleha Shalom, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, and we are way back up on the page at Tanur Rabbanan, about five lines into the wide lines on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So we're going to discuss all of the different melachos. We're just plowing through one melacha after the other. So the Gemara is going to talk about the melacha of Kosher and Matir, and where exactly those melachos happened in the Mishkan. We're then going to discuss three different halachos that Marzutra Bar Tuvia heard from Rav. One of them is about the melacha of Tofer, so that's why we discuss all three of them, and we're going to discuss the different melachos involved in extracting the dye from the chilazon, and then we're going to get involved in what melachos are involved in shechita, in shechting an animal, and on Amr Beis, we're going to talk about Moleach, and Ma'abed, and Mimachik, and Makabepatish, and then finally, at the end, right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to have two different explanations of why it is that the Mishnah has to conclude after it has the whole list of the malachos, of the avos malachos, that it has to say elu avos malachos. Of course, elu avos malachos. The Mishnah started by saying that these are the avos malachos. So we're going to have two possible explanations of that as well, and then we probably won't get to the to read the next Mishnah. So we'll let's get started right now. So we are holding again Tanur Rabbanan about five lines into the wide lines on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Tanur Rabbanan, the Brisa tells as follows: Hatoleish Sakanov. If a person pulls out a feather from the wing of a bird, Vakumto, or he clips the feather because it's he wants to cut it down to size to use it for a stuffing for a pillow or something. Vamorto, or he smooths out the hairs that are on the bird's skin. He pulls out the hairs to make it smooth. Chayiv shalosh chatos. He did three different melachos, and therefore he's chayiv three different chatos. Amr b'shem melakish. What are these three melachos that he did? Well, toleish chayiv mishum gozes. If he has a live bird and he plucks out a feather, then he's chayiv mishum gozes, because that's like shearing off the wool from an animal. So toleish is going to be chayiv mishum gozes, and kotem chayiv mishum mechatech. And when he clips it, so since he's clipping it down to size, that's chayiv mishum mechatech. Memarit chayiv mishum memachek. And when he removes the hairs in order to smoothen out the skin, so that's memachek, that when you scrape down the hairs off of the hide of an animal in order to smooth it down, that's a violation of memachek. Good. Hakosher ba'matir, we then listed as the avos, two more avos melachos in the Mishnah, were tying and untying. So kshira, says the Gemara, b'mishkan hechavoy. Where was kshira in the Mishkan? When did they ever do knotting in the Mishkan? So we're going to have three possibilities. Amar Reva, possibility number one, shekin kosherin b'yaseidos ohalim. They would tie down the urios of the Mishkan onto pegs of tents in order that it should be attached to the ground. So that involved the malacha of kosher, because they would tie it, and matir also, because they would have to untie it when they would take the Mishkan apart. So asks Abaye on Rava, who kosher amanas lahatiru? Well, wait a second, that mice of kshira is being kosher amanas to untie it later, and that's not really the malacha of kosher. The malacha of kosher is supposed to be that it's meant to be there forever, that it's kosher liolam. There are certain malachos that are almanas leh, right? Mochek is mochek almanas lichtov, because that's the only way that it's productive. But typically speaking, when you do a malacha, it's meant to be a dover shel kayama, and if it's only temporary, then it's not a real violation of the malacha. So kosher, when your intention is to then untie it in very short order, is not going to be a violation of the malacha of kosher. Ella amrabaye, explanation number two. Shekein orge yurios shenifskalen Shanima Koshimosa. When they were weaving the curtains, if there was a strand that was snapped, they would tie the end of that strand so the whole thing wouldn't become undone. And that was the violation of kosher. So Amalei Rava, Tirats to Kosher, Matir Maikel Meimer. Rava says, you know, the advantage of my explanation was that it was about tying down the Urios into the Yesedos, into the pegs of the Olim, was that I explained where kosher and where Matir were. But you, Abaye, you're just telling me that they would sometimes have to tie a loose string. That's kosher. That's not Matir. Where's Matir in that? Maybe you'll say that sometimes when you're weaving, there are two knots that were of two strings that are right next to each other. So sharichad v'katerchad. So after they weave it, they would untie one of them and leave it without being knotted, and leave the other one tied in order that it shouldn't be it shouldn't stick out, it shouldn't protrude, that it should be smoother. Well, hashlo lefnei melech basar v'damei nosim kein. That's very shoddy work. That's very sloppy work. They, even for a melech basar v'dam, you wouldn't have such a thing where two strands come to an end and one of them you have to untie and the other one remains tied. It's going to leave a hole in the baguette. So lefnei melech machleim lachem kodesh baruch hu. Listen, you think you could do that for a kodesh baruch hu? Kol shkein, you're not allowed to do that for a kodesh baruch hu. So obviously, what they didn't do work like that. They were very careful initially that they wouldn't have to tie two knots right next to each other. And if it came about that they would do that, they would leave one knot in the middle, and the second strand they would cut either higher up or lower down, and they would bring a longer string to then weave into the garment. But they wouldn't just leave a hole in the garment or leave two knots right next to each other. They would have to do very careful work if they're doing this for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Ella Amar Rava. Rava says a third possibility. Vitem Rabbi Lai. Some say it's Rabbi Lai. Shekein Sade Chilazon Kosher Nematirin. People who were trapping chilazons, who had to trap the chilazon in order to make the, in order to get the tcheles to use as the dye, so they would tie and untie the nets that they would trap the chilazon with. And that was a kesha that was miskayim, because they would tie the nets in making the nets, and sometimes they had to untie pieces in order to connect it to another net to expand the net. So there was matir involved in that as well. So there was kosher and matir, and the kshira was a kshira shel kayama. So they would, when they were trapping these chilazons, that's what they would do. They would use these nets. One of the rayas that people bring that the chilazon is not a snail and that it must be a fish is that why do you need a net to catch a snail? You just pick it up. I have a chilazon in my fish tank over here at home. It wouldn't be very hard to catch at all. You could just stick your hand in and just pull it out. It doesn't move very fast at all. It's vicious. It eats all of its friends in the fish tank, but it's very easy to catch. So the answer is that, yeah, if you happen to live at the bottom of the ocean and you happen to be there, so then yes, it's very easy to catch a snail. But most people don't live at the bottom of the ocean, and it's difficult to get there, and it's burrowing in the sand, so the easiest way to catch them is to lay out nets. This is the way that people catch these snails. They lay out the nets at the bottom of the ocean, and slowly these snails gather in that area and on top of the net, and then you yank out the net, and now you have all of these snails. So it is an act of tzeda, and it does require nets. V'atover shtei tfiros, if a person stitches two stitches, v'halo kaimos, says more, two tfiros, that's not going to last. Will become undone. Now, this is assuming that you then tie the end so that the tefira will be miskayim. The Rambam points out that it's davka shtei tefiros that you need the knot at the end. But if it's shalosh tefiros or more, the Rambam in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos writes, you're chayiv even without tying a knot at the end, because then it would be a tefira miskayemes even without a knot at the end. Now, if we're talking about the Rishonim raises a question, if we're talking about tying the two ends of the strand, why aren't you chayv mishum kosher? I mean, we're saying you're chayv mishum tofer shtei tefiros only if you tie a knot. But if the knot involves taking two strings and tying them together, isn't that exactly the malacha of kosher as well? So shouldn't every tofer also involve a kosher? So the Ramban says that we're talking about where you tie a knot at the end, but it's not a real kesher. It's like you tie a bow at the end. So the tefira will stay in place, but as far as a kesher is concerned, it's not a real kesher. The Ritva says in the name of his Rebbeim that that it's not talking about that you're tight, a similar answer, that you sort of twist it so that it holds tight, but it's not really kesher because you're just twisting the two strings together. So the Rishonim will work with this with these types of issues, or it's koshal menas lahatir. Somehow the knot that's holding the stitching together is not a real genuine knot that you'd be chayiv mishum kosher. Hakorea al menas litbar. We then say if you tear in order to then sew, that is also malacha. So kriya b'mishkan miyava. Where did they ever tear anything in the Mishkan? Rabbi and Rabbi Zera darmi tarvayu. So Rabbi and Rabbi Zera both explained shekin yiriya shenafal ba darna, that if a worm got into one of the curtains and it made a small hole in it, so korinba, they would tear it around that area, vitofrenosa, and then they would restitch it, so right in the place where the hole was made. So they would have to, in order to stitch it properly, they would have to tear more. They couldn't just leave a circular hole there and then stitch it. That would be very sloppy. So they had to cut a little bit around it and then stitch it together properly. So that's where Tefira happened in the Mishkan. So now the Gemara brings three halachos that Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia heard in the name of Rav. One of them has to do with Tofer, and that's why we mention all three of them over here. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, Hamotea Chut Shel Tefira B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. If let's say you have stitching that starts to loosen and you pull the string tight so that it will tighten up all of the stitches, that's a violation of an Issa D'Oraisa on Shabbos of Tofer. Second halacha, so that's the one that relates to our sugya. Now we have two halachas that don't relate to our sugya, but we just mentioned them both anyway. V'alomi dover echad min ha-magosh. If someone learns something from a magosh, we're going to have to define two deos what a magosh means, but we're going to assume for right now someone who causes others, who encourages others to violate avodah zarah. So even if you hear a nice dvar Torah from someone like that, chayev misa. Don't go learning from someone like that. If the whatever teaching he's going to give you ultimately is going to lead a person to avodah zarah, because he's being matiyu miderech hachayim lederech hamisa. The Rabbeinu Prachya says it's his way of catching you and of ensnaring you toward the derech hamisa, and therefore you chayev misa, because it's sort of like you're taking your life in your own hands. It's like dumb of barosho. You're bringing yourself down a path of misa. Now it's true, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga that Rabbi Meir's Rebbe was Acher Elisha ben Avuya, and that he was a Mechal Shabbos after he couldn't handle being Nichnas Lepardes. So and Rabbi Meir continued to learn from him. So the Gemara asked that Kasha Maseches Chagiga, and the Gemara says, how are you allowed to learn from someone like that? So the Gemara answers, Habegadol Habekatan, that since Rabbi Meir was a Gadol, the Gemara gives two answers, but one of the answers, since Rabbi Meir was a Gadol, he was allowed to do that. He was allowed to learn from him because he was not going to be led astray. He was going to know exactly what he can learn from him that was genuine Torah and what he was not able to learn from him. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, when we quote this halacha in Yerideya and Sim Reish Mem Vav, the Shulchan Aruch makes no such exception for a Gadol. Shulchan Aruch just says, you're not allowed to learn from someone like that. You're not allowed to learn from someone who's holich b'derech lo tova, who's not on a bad path. So the Shach points out, why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch qualify that and say that it makes a difference if you're a gadol, who you are that's doing the learning? So the Shach writes, because as far as this halacha is concerned, nobody is a gadol anymore. There's no such thing as a gadol who can be so confident in himself that he's able to learn from such a person, and therefore you're not allowed to learn divrei Torah from such people. It's stylish among certain people to learn from books of apikorsim and to find nice divrei Torah from books of apikorsim. So that's beferish in the Gemara, that's chayv misa. You're not allowed to do that. Vayodeh l'chashiv tkufos mazalos. And the third thing is, if someone knows how to calculate the tkufos and the mazalos, he knows the placement of the sun and the stars in the sky. Ve'enu choshev, and he chooses not to pursue that area of limud, even though he's inclined toward that area of limud. He's mathematically inclined. He's scientifically inclined, and nevertheless he chooses not to do that. Also the sapri menu. Then you're not allowed to say anything over in his name. That apparently it's a mitzvah for a person to be involved in such cheshbonos. There's a tshuvas Rambam in the Pe'er Ador where the Rambam writes to a kihila of Marshaila, where they ask that which it says yodeh lechashiv tkufos mazalos einu mechashiv. So what exactly is this talking about? So the Rambam says that being mechashiv tkufos mazalos is just understanding science, understanding the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and the more one understands the as Pa'al Hashem lo yabitu, that a person who doesn't look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created is not going to have a proper appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person who has the intellectual capacity to learn such things ought to learn such things. This is very similar to what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah in Perek Dalid Halacha Yud Beis, where he talks about coming to an understanding of a Yediyas Hashem, coming to an understanding of Ma'aseh Hashem, that one achieves Yediyas Hashem to a greater degree when you look at God's actions. We can never actually know Hashem. So how do we know Him? So you look at what He's done, you look at what He's made, and that's the best way we can come to know Him. The Rambam writes, Bizman Shadam is bonin bidvar me'elu, umakir kola bruimi malach vigilgal va'adam uchiyotzebo, v'yirachach maso shal kodesh baruch hu b'kola yitzurim v'kola bruim, mosif ava l'makom, v'titzma nafsho, that a person is going to have a greater sense of avas Hashem, and he's going to create a greater yearning to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on, v'yira v'yafachid mishifluso, and also a person will feel a sense of lowliness. It will enhance a person's sense of anivus when a person realizes the majesty of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. The Smag in Mitzvah Sasei Mem Zayin writes about the mitzvah being mechashiv tkufos umazalos and molados, is the idea is to know how to understand the calendar, to understand how the solar year works out with the lunar year, to figure out how Pesach should always fall b'chodesh ha'aviv, and Sukkah should always be b'zman ha'asif. Pasuk says in Devarim, u'shmartim v'asisim ki hichach maschem v'minaschem le'enei ha'amim, that by doing the cheshbonos of the tkufos and mazalos, and knowing when you're going to have to be ma'abar the chodesh, and when you're going to have to be ma'abar the shana, that's going to be a type of wisdom most of the chachmas ha'torah, the umos ha'olam, are not going to be able to appreciate, right? They're not going to understand the chachmas ha'torah. But this particular area of chachmas ha'torah, they will be able to appreciate, because this is something that lots of different nations pursue, this area of limud. So according to the Smag and the Smak and the Yireim, there is a mitzvah to try to figure out the Jewish calendar, and those who work on that are fulfilling this wonderful mitzvah. Okay, says the Gemara. Now, Magoshasa, who is this Magosh that you're not allowed to learn anything from? So Rav Shmuel Chadamar Charshi, one says that someone who's a Mechashev, who practices Kishuv, V'chadamar Gadufi, and the other one says that it's not Bikoris, it's a person who's connected to Avodah Zarah, and he's always Megadef as Hashem, and he's a Mesis, he gets other people to try to do Avodah Zarah. So Tistayim to Rav Damar Gadufi. It makes sense that Rav is the one who says that it's a Gadufi, that it's a Megadef. Because Rav is the one who said that if you learn something from such a guy, you're chayiv misa. So diyas halkadai to charshi. But if you're going to say that it's someone who's a mechashev, would you really be chayiv misa for learning anything, for learning something from a mechashev? No, the pasuk says haksiv. The pasuk says that lo silmad lasos, that you shouldn't learn to do like the toevos of what the goyim are doing. Avlat halamid lahavin laharos. But you're allowed to learn to know how to save yourself from kishuv. And if there's a navi sheker and he does some sort of kishuv in front of you, you have to know how to paskin a din of kishuv. So what's mutter, what's aser, what's involved in all of these things? So apparently there is a din of being lomei dover echad, of learning something from people who know a little bit about kishuv. You got to learn the chachma if you're going to sit on a beis din that deals with mechashvim. So testayim. So then it's in fact muchach that Rav is the one that holds that it's not a mechashiv, that it's a min, and therefore everything he says is avodah zarah, and that's why you have to stay far away from him, and you're not allowed to say shmua mishmua. You're not allowed to say something over in the name of such a person of a mechashev. The Gemara, so the Gemara had said that being mechashev tkufas mazalos, it's also the sapre menu if a person chooses not to do that. So the Elia Rabbi explains based on the Rashba Mishmeres Habayis that when the Gemara says in that Maseches Avodah Zarah daflam and hey that Ivo used to eat pas palter. So Rava says, or Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Lo tishtu uba hadei da Ivo, duka'ochel lachma da armai. Don't hang out with Ivo, because he eats the pas of goyim. So the gears of the Rif and other Rishonim is Lo tishtu uminei da Ivo. And the Rashba says it means that the Chachamim would not made a gzera not to eat pas goyim, and he wasn't fulfilling that gzera. He wasn't listening to that gzera, and therefore he should not be considered one of the Chachamim. Chachamim that you quote anymore. You don't say a Shmua Mishmo if he's not going to listen to the Divrei Chachamim. It's a Mida Keneged Mida that he doesn't get counted among the Chachamim if he's not Machshiv, the entire institution of Chachamim. So Asr L'Sapre Menu might mean that you're not allowed to say something from him. The Asr L'Sapre Menu might not just mean, like we said before, that you're not allowed to learn from him, but it might mean that you're not allowed to say Divrei Torah in the name of that person, because he's a person who disassociated himself with the Chachamim. Okay, back in the Gemara now. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. That's right. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Kol Yodei L'Chashiv B'Tkufas Mazolus Ve'Einu Choshev. If a person knows how to do these calculations of Tkufas and Mazolus and he doesn't, Allah Hakasav Omer, that's what the Pasuk in Shayo says. There's Paul Hashem Lo Yabitu Ma'ase Yadav Lo Ra'u. That it's improper what the person is doing. That they're not looking at the Pu'ulas Hashem. They're not looking at the Tzva Shemayim, at that which Hakadosh Baruch Hu created. The Marsha says it's double lashon Lo Yabitu and Lo Ra'u, because in order to be Mechashiv, Tkufas and Mazalos, first you need to be Mabit. Mabit means just look. You have to look in the sky and you have to, open up your eyes and see. And then there's an additional level of Re'iyah. You need to contemplate, you need to think, and you need to calculate. So there's the physical seeing, and then the time that one spends doing those calculations. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan, Minayin Shemitzvah Adam Mechashiv Tkufas and Mazalos. How do I know that it's a mitzvah to do the Tkufas and Mazalos? Shenemar Ushmartim Asisem Kihi What is a chachma vina that the amim could appreciate? That's doing the cheshbonos. So the tkufas mazalos, that's a chachma that they can fully appreciate, because they can appreciate trying to figure out how the solar calendar and the lunar calendar work out, and how you're able to predict how things are going to play out, how quickly the sun will set at different times of the year, and things of that nature, based on your understanding of the way that things work in the sky. Hatsad Svi. If a person traps a deer, so that was another one of the Avos Melachos. So Tan Rabbanan, once we're on the topic of tzad, hatzad chilazon. If someone traps a chilazon, va'apotzo, and someone cracks it open, he cracks the shell, einu chay, that's one of the rayos, by the way, that it's a snail, is because the word potzea sounds like you're crushing something hard, like a hard surface. It seems unlikely that you'd use the word potzea on a slimy, slippery fish. A potzea, being potzea, sounds like you're breaking something that has a hard outer shell. So if someone's potzea, in order to to extract its blood, einu chayiv ela achas. He's only chayiv one karmel chatas mishum tzeda. He's not chayiv for the potzea, only for the tzeda. Reb Yudah omer chayiv shtayim. Reb Yudah says you chayiv two chatos, one for the tzeda and one for the potzea, meaning everyone agrees that you chayiv for tzad chilazon. Again, that's also one of the right. Why would there be a malacha of tzad by the chilazon? Normally the rule of tzeda, will get to the sugyas later on in the Masechta, is that if you can't catch it, if you're able to catch something in a single lunge, then that's not an act of tzeda. That's not trapping. That's just picking something up. It's only if you got to chase it around and within a single lunge, you're not going to catch it. You need to confine it to a smaller area before you're able to catch it with a single lunge. Only then is it tzeda. So how could it be tzeda on a snail? You could definitely catch a snail with a single lunge. So the teretz is that when you go through the sugyas of tzeda, it seems pretty clear from many Rishonim that it's lav dafka, a single lunge. The point is that you need to do tachbulos in order to be tzad, that it's not just easy to pick one up, that you have to do a whole plan in order to figure out how you're going to trap it. And that's certainly true of something that lives at the bottom of the ocean, that you need to figure out, how am I going to lay the nets, how am I going to get them down there, making the nets, doing a whole, you can't just walk and pick one up, so that's why it's a violation of tzeda. And that, l'kuleyam lo pligi, that if someone catches the chilazon, it's a violation of tzeda. But what about being potzea? Is that a violation? Rabbi Yudah says being potzea is like dash. You're drawing something out of that which it's enclosed in. Amrulo ain't ptsia b'chaldisha. So the Chum said, not true. It's not included in dash. It seems somewhat repetitive. Machloks Chum and Rabbi Yudah, why did the Chum have to say ain't ptsia b'chaldisha? They already said initially that it's tzad chilazon potzo ainu chayv ela achas. They already said that you only chayv once, and we know that that was about seida and not being potzea. So why do they have to mention it again? So one of the Achronim suggests that one might have said that the reason for the Chum is because we don't find Disha with a living thing. So if you're potzeh the chilazon lachar misa, maybe the chum would be moda that ichayev mishum dash, and that's why the chum have say no, ain't ptzia b'chal disha at all. Whether it's alive, whether it's dead, it doesn't matter whether the chilazon is alive or dead. It's just not included in the imlacha. So I'm a rav in my time with the rabbanon. Why did the rabbanon say that ptzia is not b'chal disha? The kesaver ain't disha el legidulei karka. Dash is only something that's done and something that grows from the ground, but not on an animal. V'lechayev nami mishum tilos neshama. Why, when you trap the chilazon, isn't it also a violation of netilas neshama? I'm Rabbi Yochanan shepatzal meis. Now maybe you crack it open while it's already dead. So if you do while it's still alive, maybe in a chinami, it's netilas neshama. Another answer, Rava Amar afilu teim shepatzal chai. No, maybe you're doing it while it's still alive, but misasek huetzal netilas neshama. As far as killing it, that's only a misasek. That's not what you're trying to do. So it's a lack of melechus machsheves because you're not trying to kill it. You're just trying to draw out the die that you're going to get from it. But come on, how do you call that a davar sheinu miskaven? When you extract all of its blood, you're going to kill it. So how can you say that that's considered a davar sheinu miskaven? Says more shiny hacha, No. It's not just a davar sheinu miskaven. It's better over here. You're working in the opposite direction. You're trying to keep this thing alive as long as you possibly can. Because the die works better if you extract the dye while the animal is alive. It has something to do with the oxidation of the dye. There's a scientific explanation for this, and it's true, lemaisa, as far as the Murex trunculus snail, that if you draw out that dye after it's dead, it's useless pretty much. You need to draw it out while it's still alive, and then it will die in short order. So since while you're extracting the dye, you're trying to keep the thing alive as long as you possibly can, so then you can't call that a psik reshe for which you're going to be chayiv. We only say Mother Rabbi Shimon Psik Reshe when it's something that you don't care one way or the other. But if you're dafka working in the opposite direction to keep the thing alive, then we're not going to say that Mother Rabbi Shimon Psik Reshe. We'll still call that a davar she'eino miskaven. That's how Rashi understands that a psik reshe where you don't want the malacha, Rabbi Shimon is not going to be mechayiv, even though enochinami it's a psik reshe. However, the Ramban understands within Shitas Rashi that it's not a psik reshe at all, because if the blood while it's alive is better, so you're miskaven to keep it alive and potzea in a way that it might not die. So meaning you're doing it in a way where not like we explained Rashi just before, the way many understand Rashi, the Ran understands Rashi that it's going to die. Yes, it's a psik reshe, but because your kavana is that it shouldn't die, that's why it's not psik reshe. No, says the Ramban, maybe because you're working so hard that it shouldn't die, it actually won't die. So that's what Rashi means. Tosos explains that the Gemara doesn't mean that you want that the chilazon will be alive. It's just that you don't care if it's dead or alive, and you're pater because it's mach shein shricha legufa. That's how Tosos understands. Okay, so it's a major discussion in the Rishonim over here. Ve'hashochto. Then we said another malacha is shochet. So it says more shochet mishumay mechayev. What malacha are we mechayev a person who does shchita? Shchita itself was not done in the malach samishkan. They needed the oros elim adamim for the mishkan, but they could have gotten that by shooting the animal in the head. They didn't have to shecht it. They could have choked the animal to death for that. So why do we mention shechita as a malacha in its own right? That's how Rashi understands the question. I mean, the Gemara knows that shochet is chayiv mishum netilas neshama, right? What the issue is of shochet, that it's a violation of netilas neshama, but the Gemara understands lashon the Mishnah is that there's a chiv, a specific chiv for doing shechita specifically, aside from the general iser of netilas neshama. So that's how Rashi understands the Gemara's kasha over here. That I understand there's an issue of netilas neshama, but what is it about shechita, of taking a life in the manner of shechita? Is there anything else other than just the fact that you're taking a life force from something? Tosa understands that the Gemara is not really asking on the line of the Mishnah where we said hashochet, because of course that's netilas neshama. The Gemara is asking, by shechting every animal, which malachas? The Gemara is just asking stam. When you shecht an animal, what else are you violating? Obviously it's shochet, that's one of the things, that's one of the lametas malachas, but what else might you be violating when you when you shechet an animal. Now there is a machlokas, I think we alluded to it the other day, a machlokas Rishonim, machlokas Rashi and Rav Haigon, which elements of the Mishkan do we derive the malachos of Shabbos from? Is it only the malachos that went into the preparation of the Mishkan? Or like Rav Haigon says, we even learn avos malachos from the karbonos, from that which was done in the Mishkan regularly. This sugya sounds much more like Rashi, that the malachos that were done with sort of the karbonos of the Mishkan are not included in the malachos of Mishkan, and therefore we can't learn avos from them. Because if we could learn from the karbonos that were done, so what's the Gemara's kasha? Where do we have shochet? Certainly if you learn the Gemara's kasha like Rashi, where do you have shochet in the Mishkan? What do you mean? Every single karbon you have shochet. So it sounds more like Rashi if you understand the Gemara's kasha in the way that Rashi understands the Gemara's kasha over here. So anyway, so says Gemara, Rav Am Rishon Tzoveya. What malacha do you violate? It's Tzoveya, because when the blood gushes out, it stains the entire hide of the animal around its neck. Ushmul Am Rishon Netilas Neshama. That it's only Netilas Neshama, and it's not anything else. So Mishum Tzoveya and Mishum Netilas Neshama lo. Wait a second, does Rav mean to say that it's only Tzoveya, not Netilas Neshama? Of course it's Netilas Neshama. Ema af mishum Tzoveya. No, what he meant to say is that it's even Tzoveya. It's not only Netilas Neshama. Amarav, Milsa da'amri, Ema ba'milsa. That which I said, that Shochet is Chayv mishum Tzoveya, let me explain what I mean by that. Because it may sound strange. What are you dying? You care about you using blood as a dye? What does that even mean? Because I don't want later generations to come and learn that I said that when you shech something, it's tzoveya, and they're going to laugh at me, and they're going to say, what's he talking about? So tzoveya b'may nichle, why is it that you're happy that the hide of the animal, that the skin around the neck of the animal, around the beis hashchita, is colored with red? Necha delitavas beis hashchita dama, kiechi delakzu inshi v'leisu lizbenumine. Because by seeing the freshness of the red around the beis hashchita, everyone will be able to tell that the animal is just recently shechted. So you want that color there, so that when people come to buy the meat, they're going to know that this is fresh meat. So it is something that you're interested in having, that tzoveya. It's not just an automatic accident of shechting, that you're always going to have some blood there, but you have no interest. You're absolutely interested in that blood there, so that because that's going to help improve your sales of the meat. So the Rabbeinu Chananel says a little different. Rabbeinu Chananel says that way they'll know that it was shechted kedin, that it's not a nevela, meaning there was no Hashkacha, there was no one watching the Shechita. You bought from a religious Jew, so you had to assume that he did everything right. So there's some level of suspicion. So in order to avoid any level of suspicion, you show that the animal was clearly Shechter, or at least was an attempted Shechita, because you see that the blood is all around the animal's neck. So you know that you didn't just go hunting and find and kill this animal in some other way. V'amolcho v'ma'abdo. We then said that salting and tanning are avos malachos. Haynu maleach, haynu ma'abid. Aren't they the same thing? When you put the salt on the hide, aren't you tanning it? Rabbi Yochanan Rishok Shamitavayu apik chad minayu va'il sirtut. Take out one of these malachos and put in sirtut instead. Because normally when they would cut the hide down to size, they would first mark it off. They would make a dotted line upon which to cut. So sirtut should be one of the malachos. Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, hayman de malach bisra. If a person salts his meat on Shabbos, chayv mishum ma'abid. That's a violation of ma'abed, because malicha is included in ibud. Rava amar ein ibud ba'ochlin. No, ma'abed doesn't apply to food, so you're not chayiv on malichas basar on Shabbos. Amar avashiv afilu Rabbi Rav Huna lo amar el dekabay leila orcha. Even Rabbi Rav Huna says that the malicha of basar is considered malicha. It is considered ibud. That's only if you need that meat for a long trip where you're going to put a lot of salt in to preserve it for a long period of time. Avalabesa, but if it's just the meat you have around your house because you want to serve it for dinner that night, lo mashvi nishmichle eitz, then a person is not going to make his food dry like wood, meaning the idea of the salting over here is like to make a beef jerky. So, if you need something that's going to last a long time, so you'll make a beef jerky. You'll make something that, could sit on the shelf in 7-Eleven for 6 months and no one will ever know the difference. But if you're talking about something that you want to eat in your house, so then you want Why would you do that? You would never use that level of melicha. So even if you hold that melicha is mishuma abed, even on foods, but that's only if it's a serious level of salt. So that's why we're allowed to spice our foods on Shabbos, right? There's no iser of putting salt or other things in your food to make your food tastier. That's not called ma'abed. We then said that memachik and mechatech are two of the melachos. Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Chanina, hashaf bein amudim. If a person smooths out the ground in between the two pillars of the support beams of his house, b'shabbos chayiv mishum memachik. That's a violation of memachik because he's smoothing out the area. The ground was bumpy and now he's smoothing it out. So even though memachik, the way it was done in the Mishkan, was scraping down the extra hairs or whatever was on the leather over here. This is a different form of memachik. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, shlosh dvarim sachli ravashi mishmeid Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says Rav Ashi told me three things in the name of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that you have to take away the girsa of Ashi, it should be Rav Asi instead of Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi was one of the Mesadrei Ashas. So Rav Ashi was clearly in the last generations of the Amoraim. So it doesn't make sense that he would ever have had a conversation with Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara in Bracha says. So Rabbi Yochanan was way earlier on. Rabbi Yochanan was a contemporary of Rav and Levi, so that was from the very early generations of the Amoraim. So and plus he's saying something in the name of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi that's mentioned and he's mentioned in Mishnayos. So this sounds like from the very very early generations of the Amoraim. So therefore it's unlikely that it's Rav Ashi. The Rashash says, you know, like we always say, who says that it's the same Rav Ashi you're thinking of? There may be more than one Rav Ashi. So there may have been an earlier generation Rav Ashi and a later generation Rav Ashi. Okay, so whichever Rav Ashi it was or Rav Asi, someone said in the name of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi the following three things. Number one, Hamagare Rashi Klonsos. If a person smooths out the tips of the poles b'Shabbos on Shabbos, chayv mishum mechatech. That's chayv mishum mechatech because he's cutting the poles down to a very particular size. Hamareich retiyah. If a person puts like neosporin on a wound or something, he puts a cream on a wound. So b'Shabbos chayv mishum memachik. It's chayv mishum memachik, even though again it's a different kind of smoothing. He's not scraping anything off, but he's taking a clump of a substance and he's smoothing it out over a wound, and that's a violation of memachik. That's what we commonly call mimareach, which is a tolda of memachik. And if someone chisels a stone on Shabbos, chayv mishum makah bepatish. So for that, he's chayv mishum makah bepatish. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Kisma, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, hatzard tzura bekli. If someone makes a nice image on a kli to decorate it, v'amenafeach bekli zechuchas, or someone who blows glass and makes a kli like that, chayv mishum makah bepatish. That's also a violation of Makab Patish, because that's also a Gemar Kli. Amar Rav Yehuda, Haiman de Shakel Akufe Miglimi. A person who takes the loose strands that are hanging off of a beged, or any splinters of that may be sticking out, anything that's hard, or anything that doesn't look nice on the beged, Chayiv Mishum Makab Patish. So by finishing off, by taking off those loose strands, so you Chayiv Mishum Makab Patish. But that's only if it's something that a person is Makbid, that it shouldn't stay there in the beged, because then the beged is not considered complete until those things are removed, and now the beged is considered usable and complete. Vakosif shtei osios. We then said that if someone writes two letters, and if he erases al menas lichtov shtei osios, he's chayiv. Tanu rabban kosav osachas gedola v'yesh b'mekom lichtov shtayim pater. Let's say you just write one letter, but you write it so big that it was written on a space that's large enough that you could have written two letters. So then you're going to be pater. It's because in the Mishkan, where we learned this melacha from, they would dafka write two letters, and this guy only wrote one letter. Machak os kedol v'yesh b'mekom lichtov shtayim chayiv. But if you erase one large letter, and leaving enough space to write two normal-sized letters, then you're chayiv, because the melacha of mechika is in preparing a space, erasing enough to prepare a space for two letters. It's not about erasing two letters per se, it's erasing al menas lichtov, so it's erasing enough to prepare a space for for two letters, and therefore you're going to be chayev. Amar Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yossi, ze chomer b'mochek mi b'kosev. In this sense, mochek is more chomer than kosev. To tell me that the Tana that taught this b'ris is Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi. So that's what he says. That's why chomer is more chomer than kosev. Habonu v'asos v'mechave v'amavir v'amakam b'patish. So these are also melachos. Rabbi Rabbi Zeber Darmi Tavayu, kol midi de ispe gemar melacha. Anytime there's an action that has to be done to finish something off, chayv mishum makam b'patish. That's always going to be a chiyuv of makam b'patish. Elu avos melachos. And then the Mishnah concluded by saying, and these are your lamitas melachos. So it sounds like you're singing a song, right? These are the lamitas melachos. And then at the end you say, and these are your lamitas. Well, why would the Mishnah just conclude with such a phrase? We know these are the lamitas melachos. Say, elu lafukim rablazim the mechayv al tolda b'makom av. So one explanation is to tell me that we don't hold like Rabbi Lazar, who says that you're chayiv even on a tolda when you did the av and its tolda, that you'd be chayiv two separate chatos. So this time it's coming to tell us not so. You bring a chatos on only the av and the tolda subsumed under the av. That's why we're told the number of the melachos to let us know how many different chatos one could potentially be chayiv on a single Shabbos. Chasarachas, so we said that it's arbam chasarachas lafukim mit Rabbi Yehuda. That's to tell me not to say like Rabbi Yehuda. Titan Rabbi Yehuda Mosif es hashovet v'medaktek. Rabbi Yehuda added other malachos. He added the malacha of being shovet and being and medaktek. So these are things that relate to weaving related malachos. Except you do it with. You're doing it with to untangle the threads, or the chut ha'arev needs to be loosened a little bit, so you loosen it by hitting it a little bit to make sure that it's not so taut. So those are also parts of the weaving process. So amlo shovet ha'arev b'chal mesach. Nah, shovet is already included in the melacha of mesach because it's arranging the strands, and medaktik ha'arev b'chal orek, and medaktik is already included in weaving because that's part of the malacha of the ariga, so they don't get counted as separate avos malachos. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ayin Ham and Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful day.